What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Student Loan Planner Podcast. I am Megan. We're still doing a consultant takeover while Travis is moving his family. And today we're going to be talking about if getting out of debt is the new American dream. I think historically, the American dream was buying a home and being a homeowner. Now there's a lot of other dreams we can talk about and discuss. Is it FIRE? Is it getting out of debt? And today on the podcast, we're going to break down how people feel about purchasing a home versus investing versus paying down debt, the trends that we're seeing in the pandemic that might be affecting some of these thought processes. You know, what is the new American dream? So Dan, I have you on the podcast with me as well. And I understand that you did a little research before this conversation on some statistics, right?
Yeah, Megan, I did. You know, if you go into Google and you just type in the new American dream, getting out of debt, which is something I did recently, the first hit at the very top is this article from Yahoo Finance done by credit.com. And it was a few years ago, about 5-6 years ago. But in this survey, they asked respondents to select what was to them their definition of the new American dream. And 17% of the respondents said that buying a new home was still their version of the American dream. But get this, 25% of the respondents in the survey said that being debt-free was their definition of the new American dream. So I think that's pretty interesting to think about. There also was, you know, a few other things in there. 36% of them said that retiring financially secure at age 65 was their definition of the American dream. And then the rest of the respondents filtered into a combination of graduating from college, paying off student loans, joining the 1%, or something else was actually one of the options. So I think that the phrases being debt-free and retiring financially secure at age 65, those being the highest percentages at 25% and 36% respectively, are interesting to think about. If we take a mental break from the numbers, from the percentages, and we just think about those phrases by themselves, you would think that there's an order to it. First, you got to become debt-free, and then you can retire financially secure at your age of retirement, and that they go hand in hand. And that makes a lot of sense on the surface, but you could also be thinking, well, hold on, Dan, I could have a mortgage at 65, so technically I'm not debt-free, but I'm financially secure. And you'd be right. That's one way to think about it. It's possible to have saved enough money to replace your income with investment earnings and still have a mortgage. And for most people, I would say, or we would say, that's where the debt train of thought stops. There isn't any other kind of debt you can have in your balance sheet while maintaining the definition of being financially secure or financially independent, as the FIRE movement calls it.
Yeah. And I think on most personal financial podcasts, that would be true. But we on the Student Loan Planner podcast do like to dissect things a little bit differently and look at things from all different angles. So I think we'll just say this now, you know, we can still have debt and still be financially secure in the future or still be able to achieve financial independence. And there's some examples we can talk about here coming up on this. But I first wanted to introduce, so you know Dan and I on this podcast, but I wanted to introduce our team member, Brittany, who's going to be joining the conversation today to talk about her experience with debt and how it relates to her definition of the American dream. But Brittany, I would love for you to introduce yourself and describe who you are as a team member with Student Loan Planner.
Yes. So hi, everyone. My name is Brittany Lynn, and I am the publicist for Student Loan Planner. So if you've heard Travis or any of the consultants on other podcasts, and that's how you found out about us, or you saw us in a publication or maybe even on TV, I probably had something to do with that. So I've been on the Student Loan Planner team for 3.5 years now, 4 years, something like that, something around that range. So I've been a longtime team member, and it's an honor to be a part of the team. I love everyone at Student Loan Planner. Megan and Dan asked me on, as I am embarking on a kind of alternative way of living. And so they were like, do you want to come on the Student Loan Planner podcast and talk about this? And I was like, sure, I don't really know what I'll talk about, but like, we'll see. So I run a PR agency that serves online entrepreneurs, much like Travis, and other authors, just people who are wanting to get their messages out in front of more people. I started my business about 5.5 years ago, And a little bit about my background is my husband and I, we paid off all of our debt for me to be able to start this business. I didn't start a side hustle. I know that that's a typical way that people kind of start their businesses. I could not do that. My corporate job was just like too much mentally on me to handle. I couldn't handle doing a side hustle at the same time. So we spent 2.5 years paying off our student loans and our consumer debt, primarily credit card debt. So that was about $50,000 in total. And so we paid that off in 2.5 years. And then I quit my job and I started a business, and I was kind of just doing anything that anyone would pay me to do. If they would pay me to make their dentist appointment, I would do it. I was just getting my feet wet and figuring things out. And then about a year in, I fell into PR, and I do have a degree in that, and I have online marketing experience. So that just kind of made sense. So as how do we get here into my like alternative living, which I feel like I'm like keeping people on their toes of like, what does she do? What's this alternative living?
Yeah.
I don't mean to be mysterious. So my husband worked a typical corporate job. He was a sales engineer. And then last year, COVID hit. At the same time, a close family member of mine, a cousin of mine, was diagnosed with secondary leukemia. So she was being treated at a cancer hospital in Houston. And so this was like during COVID. It's like we couldn't really visit. It was just a horrible time for basically everyone on this planet. Sadly, at the end of June last year, she passed away. So she was 24 years old. And I'm going to try to not get emotional during this podcast, but like, am I going to be the first person that cries on the Student Loan Planner podcast? Like, let's see. Let's check the records.
I think you might. I think you might. We'll keep this in a positive direction.
Yes, like, yes. We'll lift it up. So that hit us and our family really hard. And so on my husband and I's drive back home from the funeral, we had a really long drive, and we were like, what do we want our life to look like? Life is too short. You know, with COVID happening, I feel like this past year has made everyone introspective and just like thinking about like, how am I spending my time? Am I doing what I love? All those types of things. And so we had a lot of conversations, and ultimately, to summarize things, and we can dive in deeper if we want, we decided to sell our house. We decided that my husband would quit his corporate job, and that we would convert a Sprinter van to live and travel out of, so we can kind of go around the country, see friends, see family, see all these places that we've wanted to see. I can run my business very remotely, which is great. We're mid-30s, so it's not, we didn't like just graduate college, so this is a little bit of a typical or an atypical thing to do. You know, I don't know if I was asked when I was 18, like, is the American dream like you living in a van with your two dogs and your husband? And I would be like, what? Like, no way.
But your American dream, like, you started to redefine that for yourself, like in that car ride.
Yeah. And so that's kind of like what the story is. And I felt like the background was a little bit important to share of like how we got here. Right before COVID, we were about to start the IVF process. And then COVID hit a pause on that. And that was something that we had to discuss of like, it doesn't make sense to do IVF and then also like live in a van. Like that doesn't make sense. So we just had to have a lot of hard conversations. But again, I think that there's so many definitions of the American dream, different ways you can live life, and there's other options out there. So that's kind of the story. But like, I don't know if y'all have questions about that.
I was going to say, I'm excited to kind of unpack this because I think we all have maybe our own narratives, and we're also heavily influenced by our culture and just preconceived perceptions of what life should look like. And I think some people's automatic thought is, you know, I got to go to school, get a degree, get a good job, meet someone, get married, buy a house, have kids, and retire. And that's kind of the chronological order that's kind of ingrained in a lot of folks' mind on like how things have to happen. But I think it is really important to take maybe a step back and see, what do I actually want? Is this actually what I want? And I think y'all had an opportunity to do that together. While it came out of something very tragic and a really horrible time for our country, but it did kind of force you to maybe think about, what are we doing? Is this what we want to be doing with our life? So I think that's really interesting. Do you have an idea, or thinking back to like before you bought your house, was that something that y'all went into thinking, you know, this will be our forever home, or what were your thoughts before you did buy?
Yeah. So we owned our house for about 3 years. Like, we were like kind of the typical path of what you just shared of like, get a job, settle down, like move from apartment life to house life, have kids. Like, that's what everyone was doing. And that's kind of the path that we were going as well. And I do think we intentionally chose that path, you know, like I don't think it was like that we didn't want it, but like that was what we expected. Like, I think that that's what we wanted at that time. But we bought a new build construction in a suburb of Dallas. And so because we were first time home buyers and because we had paid off all of our debt, we didn't have a ton saved up to be able to put down as a down payment. So when we were looking of like, okay, do we want to compete with a bunch of other buyers? Like, here's the thing, mortgage brokers, like, they don't care that you paid off all your debt. Like, I went in and I was like, oh my gosh, they're going to be like, wow, good job. You paid off all your debt. And they were like, yeah, who cares? Like, nobody cared. I was like, does someone give me a pat on the back? Like, come on. They just care about like how much money you're putting down on the house. So that's kind of why we went with the new construction, because it was just like, this is the price, take it or leave it. So, you know, we bought that house and I don't think we went into it thinking it was going to be our forever home. We thought that this was where we were going to start our family. We thought we were definitely going to stay in Texas for long term. Had no idea that Ryan would be quitting his job in a few years. Like, that was on maybe like the future plans, but not in the next 5 years. This was really like the biggest tip I can give if you're just like, if any listener out there is thinking through any type of like life change, a big life changes, and like what's possible. The best thing that we did on that car ride home was we just removed any like rules or parameters. And we were just like, what would we do if there was just no rules? And by that, I mean, like, don't think about it from a logical point of like, well, I need to have money and I need to like remove those boundaries for a second and just be like, what would you do if there were no rules? And when we did that, we were like, well, we'd probably spend like part of the time in the Midwest where our family is and like part of the time in Colorado. Then when we brought it back to reality, it was like, okay, well, we can't own two houses right now. Like, that's not realistic. But like, how could we make that work? And that is how we came to this alternative solution of living in an RV, living in a van, like that type of thing. And again, like, that's maybe not the solution to everyone's situation, but I think we had to let our brains just like remove what made sense. Because we could have came up with all these different excuses of like, well, we can never do that. So like, we never would have came up with this creative way of doing this. I hope that makes sense. But
no, it does. Dan, did you want to jump in?
I think a lot of our listeners can identify with at least the younger side of our listeners who are still, maybe you haven't figured out where you're settling down or where you're staying for a long time. Or maybe you went to school and ended up working somewhere that is not home or not your home state. And I can identify with that, where my in-laws are on one coast and my parents are on the other coast. And having to decide where to go next, when we go next, that kind of thing. Maybe a van does make sense. I'm not saying that it
it's
will.
Hard. And again, maybe it's not, you know, van, but like maybe it's URV for the summer, or, you know, there's like different ways where it's like, you don't have to live in a van full time, like full fledged, like we are, like, we're just going off the deep end. But I think with COVID happening, and all I had to do was think for a year. It was just like, I'm in my house just thinking. And I think where your home base is became really, really important, because it was like, we can't go anywhere. And so that made us really sit back and think about, what do we want as a part of our daily lives? And I love Texas and I love Dallas, but like, Dallas is like concrete city. It's concrete and it's flat and there's nothing interesting going on around there, which some people may love, but I like found I need to be out in nature. I need to be closer to something like that. You know, yeah, a lot of people are in that situation where it's like, I can kind of go anywhere. I can be pulled anywhere, and it's hard, but really thinking about what you want. And if you have a partner, like having those harder discussions with your partner to really dig deep into what it is that fulfills you.
Yeah. And I think it is really cool to see like all the different types of alternative living solutions that exist today. Like container houses are really popular right now. That's literally like a shipping container that you build a home out of anywhere. There's the tiny house movement. There's still renting. So we're definitely going to hone in a little bit more on some of these other types of living situations when we talk about mortgage debt here in a second. But let's maybe go back to trying to maybe understand maybe the new American dream of being debt-free. And I think it's also important to maybe start out with breaking apart what types of debt are out there, what types of debt are people maybe talking about when it comes to being debt-free. So bucket number one, Dan did a great job with his show notes today, and I'm reading from his little buckets, and it's perfect. It gets me really organized. We really kind of segment these different debts into three different buckets. There's consumer debt, mortgage debt, and then of course, student loan debt, which is our bread and butter. So bucket number one, let's maybe start to talk about consumer debt. Do you want to jump in and tackle that, Dan?
Sure. So we bring up consumer debt first because when I think about the survey results from earlier where they said being debt-free was really important based on the number of people that responded, I think that consumer debt as a bucket fits into that definition of being debt-free and fits into the definition of, or at least the thought of not having debt so that you can be financially secure later on. So consumer debt, also known as credit card debt, is something that a lot of people, a lot of personal finance podcasts, us included, are of the opinion that it shouldn't be on your balance sheet for a long time. How it got there is good to dive into personally and reflect on and think about. Sometimes how it got there is through no fault of your own. And sometimes how it got there is through lifestyle choices and decisions. I've done a number of consults where there was a really good reason for the consumer debt to have been there in the first place. Maybe they were in grad school and the loans they received on the federal side weren't enough to cover basic expenses. Or maybe after grad school, there was a period of unemployment long enough to have to live on something and get it from somewhere. So whatever the reason is and why is less important than what you choose to do with it from here forward. And so consumer debt as a bucket, there's no one size fit all solution to it, but in the realm of you made lifestyle choices to get there and to acquire consumer debt, I wouldn't be so harsh on yourself because it's kind of normal. I'll go back to a quote that I've quoted before in presentations, but Robert Quillen is an American journalist and humorist. And in 1928, he wrote, "Using money you haven't earned to buy things you don't need to impress people you don't like." That's the definition of Americanism. And that's the societal norm, the societal pressures that we feel around us. So it's normal to get consumer debt. And if you can think about it for yourself from here forward, how to not be normal, then maybe that's a better path. Or maybe that's a better choice. So there's no one size fit all solution to do that. We just think that for those of you listening, you can find multiple solutions that you can identify with through other personal finance podcasts. I'll just put a lid on the bucket of consumer debt by saying that you can't achieve financial security with consumer debt still out there. Once you pay that down to zero, you can move on and start filling other savings buckets.
Now, bucket two, as we talked about before, is mortgage debt. So I'm going to throw this one to you, Brittany. How do you feel since you are now a home seller? You just sold, and probably the best time to sell in a while.
I did get lucky with that.
What do you think about mortgage debt?
Yeah, I think it's tough. And again, everyone has their own individual situation. So it's like, take what resonates and like leave the rest. To Dan's point, I think a lot of people buy things and buy houses that they think that they're supposed to buy. I think a lot of times when people, they buy their first house, and we've talked about this like with our personal friends, where they're like, when you buy the second house, it's bigger and it's more expensive. And then the third house is bigger and more expensive and more shiny and all of those things. And any of that is fine. But I really, my personal friend, you know, to their hatred, I sometimes challenge them and I'm like, is that what you really want? is the bigger mortgage what you really want in life? Because sometimes, yeah, maybe it is. Maybe you do need more space. Maybe you want that bigger backyard. You want to be closer to things, so you move inner city, you know, whatever it is. But I think a lot of times people think, oh, when I sell this first house, what does it mean if my second house is smaller? And, you know, that means I'm not perceived as successful. And like, what does that say about me? And a lot of times when people get a promotion, then their spending increases, and then their spending increases with their mortgage. And I think a lot of times people just don't think deeply about it, of like what they actually want their lives to look like. And so I think people just get wrapped up in like the rat race of like, I got to keep up with the Joneses. And it's like, who cares? Like, and I think that that's kind of where we got, where we're kind of like on the tiny house movement. That's kind of what we're thinking as well. And we're thinking of potentially like building some tiny homes of like a place of where we find some land. And, you know, when you zoom out of that, that's not what you're supposed to do. Like, I'm not supposed to move into a tiny house. But I think just being intentional about thinking about what it is you want for your life and what you actually want it to look like, because a lot of times it isn't the bigger, more expensive house. A lot of times it's like, I want to spend more time with my family. I want to stay at home with my kids, or that kind of stuff, where it's like the size of your house doesn't actually matter as much.
Mm-hmm. Might just be something to fill that void, because we haven't maybe reflected on exactly what either we're missing or exactly what we're striving for or yearning for.
Right. And then you're just thinking like, this is what I'm supposed to do, where it's like, who's making those rules? Like, literally no one is making them. Who's supposed to do anything? Like, I don't know. It's all made up in our heads.
Well, and my take on this, I'm a renter right now. We have been thinking about buying. We were looking potentially for end of this year, but the market is so hot right now to where I'm a little nervous that I don't want to be overspending on something, because for us, it's more of a, we want to settle. We want to settle down. We do want to start a family. We would not be able to do that in our one bedroom apartment, unfortunately. And so, you know, that was for us something that we wanted as our next big financial move. But there's a lot of pros to renting that I always like to highlight too, because I think people, they strive for the home purchase and they're comparing maybe apples to apples on like rent versus mortgage. And I think there's that common phrase, you know, renting is throwing money away. Well, it depends. It depends on how much your rent is and how much those home costs are going to be. You know, we also have to recognize that there are some huge pros to renting, especially if we're not financially secure or financially ready to make that home purchase. Some big pros that I like to highlight is it's definitely more flexible with location. So our lease is right now, it's a 12-month lease. It could be, you know, 6 month. It could be a 13-month. It just depends on what we renew. But I don't have to be here next year. I could move to Dallas, where you are, Brittany, or where you're trying to get out of. I could move wherever I want. Yeah, and that's an extreme example. I know people are location dependent sometimes when it comes to work, but I'm not limited on where I can be here. I could make that move or that adjustment if my neighbors are loud, or if the construction across the street is too annoying. Like we talked about earlier, they've got jackhammers across the street this week. So I was hoping it wasn't going to show up on this podcast for the audio. Another pro is, you know, when something breaks, you don't have to fix it. Usually in most rental contracts, it is not your responsibility to fix that faucet that's not running properly or to even unclog the shower. So there are things that you don't have to pay for. It's wrapped into that rent cost and you don't have to go out of your way to find someone to fix. We also don't have to worry about other fees and costs associated with homeownership. So we also need to recognize that having a mortgage, it's not just a mortgage payment. It's not just principal and interest. We have to pay realtor fees potentially through the purchase process or the selling process. We have to pay property tax, and property tax could change. That is not something that's fixed for life. We have to pay, you know, maintenance of the home. We talked about that a little bit. And then we pay the interest and principal on that mortgage. It's definitely not an apples to apples comparison. And so I think if you're someone who values being a little more flexible with location, you know, who values not quite settling yet on where you are, renting could still be a really good option. And you could still be socking away and saving for that home purchase down the road, but it doesn't have to be an end-all, be-all decision. But Dan, I know you're also a renter too, right?
Yes, I'm a renter in Chicago. And I would add to on the pro side of renting, we're an experience-driven generation. And my wife and I have moved about 7 or 8 times in the past 7 or 8 years. And we've tried a lot of different kinds of apartments. And one of the benefits of that is we know what we do like, and we know what we really, really don't like. In a city like Chicago, you could try step-ups, you could try skyscraper, you could try condos, you can try all different types of apartments and see what you like. And we're influenced by our surroundings in some way or form. Whether we choose to let that influence our financial decisions is a different thing. But when you're in Chicago, if you want to live down in the Loop, it's not a cool thing to have a big yard. And it's more about location. It's more about what's your forever view look like outside your window. Is there going to be another skyscraper in the next 10 years that's going to show up in front of you and cut the cost of your condo? But in terms of renting, I've really enjoyed experiencing different types of apartments. I think Ketsy and I are ready to maybe make a different choice and pick a place that is more long-term. But we're not in a rush. We're not in a hurry to do that. It's more of a conversation we have every couple months of what do you think about next year? And I think it's just important to talk about it and discuss it and make sure you're on the same page.
I think someone sent this to me, but there was a recent article by CNBC and the headline was 64% of millennials have regrets about buying their current home. And this is also a piece that just kind of talks about maybe the mad rush that we've felt or folks have felt during COVID while interest rates have been really low for mortgages to go out and finally purchase the house or to move. And so I thought that was really interesting and kind of dissecting the numbers there. They were saying that, you know, most common regrets about purchasing their current home were because maintenance costs or upkeep were too high. They either bought too small of a house or too big of a house, bad location, you know, the mortgage payment was too high. Maybe they bit off more than they could chew. They overpaid. That was, you know, that's exactly what we're nervous about. You know, we don't want to overpay for something that next year could be different.
You know, I'll be honest. What our house sold for was like not what it should have sold for, you know, like it sold for much higher than we ever expected. And the only reason is because of the market and supply and demand, and it's a seller's market. And so I just feel like it's hard because there's this like pressure of the interest rates are low. So like I need to get a house, and it's like, but does it make sense right now? It's a hard balance. And, you know, we were fortunate where it's like most people who were selling their houses, they're also buying another house. So like they were, it's like they lucked out selling, but then when they're in the same boat when they're buying with everybody else. Well, with us, it was, we bought a Sprinter van. So there's plenty of options for that. But it's hard because it feels like there's this pressure of like, well, you have to make this decision on this house. And if not, someone else is going to come and get it. And so then sometimes you make a decision and then you like don't actually think through all of those things of there's extra cost to being a homeowner. So there really are perks to renting for some people out there.
Yeah. And on the flip side of this conversation, I know it sounds like we're really hating mortgages and buying a home at this point, but that's not really the message we're trying to convey. It's more so just there's two sides to this conversation. And I think we need to talk about the cons to homeownership or just in general, like talking about homeownership objectively and what challenges you might face or how it might not even be the right decision for you at this point. But there's also the conversation about being mortgage debt free. And, paying off the mortgage or paying that off as soon as possible to just not have that liability or that bill anymore. That's more so going towards the FIRE movement. And that's something to talk about too. I think there's pros and cons to paying off a mortgage sooner rather than later. I think that comes from a place where folks, they want to be completely financially independent from any debt obligations. But when we look at it from a mathematical perspective, it could be possible, kind of going back to one of our first comments, it could be possible to have a mortgage in the mix and be financially independent if we're factoring that into what our future either retirement income can generate for us or, you know, so I think there's so many different ways that you can plan around mortgages or debt, have this all part of like a cohesive financial plan. So really all that to say that there's a lot of different ways we could talk about these conversations around mortgages, debt, being a homeowner, to maybe wrap up or kind of put a bow on this final thought or conversation would be, right now it is a really interesting time in the market to be buying. Interest rates are really low, but it's a seller's market in a lot of areas. So pricing is high. So it's a double-edged sword in that sense. And so make sure, just if that's something that is your next financial goal, if a home purchase is something that you want to be doing here in the future, make sure, financially speaking, we're in a very secure spot. Our rule of thumb, and I know Travis has said this a couple times, if the price is less than 2x your household income, go for it. If this is your dream, if this is your next goal, go for it. But for those who are not sure or who are not financially ready for this step, don't feel like you have to be making this step. You do not have to be making this step. It's not worth taking on debt and regretting that later on. So let's maybe go into bucket three of the debt that we wanted to talk about today and being debt free of, and that's student loan debt. And of course, that is what this podcast is all about. So Dan, do you want to kick off a conversation about student loan debt?
Sure. It's the student loan debt decision, the decision of what to do with your student loans now, because the decision to take on student loans already happened. And I'll preface this next piece by saying the decision to take on student loans may have been as big a decision as buying a home with bucket two, or bigger, depending on what you did and where you went to grad school. But we do think of student loan debt as a separate bucket because it has different rules and there are different repayment plans. And paying down to zero is an option, just like paying down your mortgage to zero is an option. But student loan debt has a bunch of other repayment options, and they're worth considering depending on your financial situation. Earlier in this podcast, we talked about how you could still have student loan debt and still be financially secure at the age of 65. And that comment was more directed at folks who are in their 50s and 60s who may have taken on Parent PLUS loans for their multiple dependents. It wasn't necessarily directed at folks in their 20s and 30s who maybe still have graduate school in front of them and are thinking that the best thing for them is to have their student loan debt on the balance sheet at 65. There are other programs in place that can wipe out that debt in 10 years, 120 payments, or 20 years or 25 years, which if you're in your 20s is hopefully sooner than when you hit 65. But if you're in that other group, in that older group that has loans, you've already taken them on, don't feel that you can't retire with the loans on the balance sheet and that you need to prioritize paying that off. There are options to pay it off. And I would think of that big picture as it's a continued mortgage payment with no balloon payment at the end if something happens to you in old age. The chances of us passing away are 100%. We're all going to pass away at some point. When that happens, if you're still making student loan payments and there's an outstanding balance, loans or federal loans, it's gone and it's not the burden of significant others or dependents. You could think of it like a mortgage payment. You could think of it like a tax. Travis often describes your student loan payments as a 10% tax or around there every year while in retirement. And if your savings can replace your cost of living and you include in your cost of living that student loan payment and you can support that with your savings, then you can have student loans.
Yeah. And there's actually a podcast episode that we have. It's episode 12 about student loan hacks if you're over 50. And this is for Parent PLUS loan borrowers or just student loan borrowers who are over age 50 or getting close to that, who wanted to know a little bit more about some of these strategies we're talking about. We have some blog content on, you know, what happens with your student loans if you were to pass away, or just student loans in general over 50, like how we can tackle these things. So definitely refer to our blog and our podcast episode 12 for a little more elaboration on some of these topics. So let's go back to Brittany on van life, hashtag van life. What are you doing with your post-home life and what's the plan? Because I know right now you're actually recording somewhere. It's not in your van yet. but where are you at right now? And what is post-home life like currently?
Yeah, so we've been building out our van since March 2021, going a little slower than what we planned, but that was kind of expected. So our sights are set on really fully being out on the road August of 2021, fully in the van with my husband and our two dogs. And we don't really have like a time limit on like, we're doing this for 12 months. We're doing this for 18 months. We're kind of just like, we're giving it a go. And we're trying not to have any ego in it where it's like, if we're 6 months in and we just absolutely hate every single day of it, we will stop in a city that we love and we will rent and we will figure it out. So that's kind of what the goal is. And then my husband will use this time. He'll work a little bit in my business, but also this will give him an opportunity to figure out what it is that he wants to do career-wise. And so we're going to be starting on the West Coast and just kind of going with where the weather is nice. So, you know, listeners, if you have a driveway, we can park in, like, we're coming. Hopefully it's not like on a hill or anything, because, you know, that's a situation. So yeah, we're documenting everything through an Instagram account, Life with the Lins. And then we're also documenting it on YouTube as well, the whole build process, which is just hysterical because we kind of know what we're doing, but we also don't know what we're doing. So it's just, you get to see the good, the bad, the ugly of all of it. So yeah, that's on YouTube and on Instagram if any of you guys are interested in van life. And who knows, maybe Ryan will become a consultant for Student Loan Planner and it'll just be like full circle and we'll have him back on the podcast.
All in the family.
All in the family.
Yeah. Well, I'm so excited for your journey. And I think it's really cool to talk about how you've defined your own American dream. And it's not the common direction. I think it's really cool to just unpack that and see how that's going for you. Dan, you want to close it out for us?
Sure thing. Will do. So if you're already on the path to saving well, great job. Good for you. Maybe your definition of the American dream is taking on that next challenge. Maybe it's building generational wealth or leaving a big check for your favorite cause, or just simply coasting once you've reached financial independence. We think that you should define what it is for you, what that American dream is for you, and maybe even define what it is for you at different points in your life. Don't let the norms of society define you. Live your own fulfilling and full life through thoughtful planning. If you have student loans and you want to help figuring out how those loans fit into your American dream, book a consult with us. You can find us on multiple media platforms online. We're on YouTube, we're on Twitter. You can follow us on Instagram at Student Loan Planner. Also follow Brittany at Life with the Lins. That's LYNNS. And have a great week, everybody.